This is the Baltimore Sports Free For All.
So in an interesting turn of events for the Maryland Terrapins basketball program, they have two teams now ranked in the top five. The women are now ranked fifth, and the men are ranked at number four. They climbed four spots this week to take number four, and I got to eat crow on this because I picked Maryland to lose against Ohio State in Ohio State. That did not come to pass. It almost did, but now you have a Maryland team that is pretty much in prime position for March.
Yeah, when you look at the current seedings, of course, these are the bracketology experts, so to speak, like Joe Lenardi and others, who are saying that Maryland, both the men and the women's team, are primed for top three seeding spots as we speak. But at the same time, though, they could climb higher as the men, though. They could climb higher if the current rankings in the top 25 change on a weekly basis, especially in the top 25, Ray, where nobody is safe. Nobody is safe at all. Not even Kansas, not even Villanova, not even Maryland, not even Duke. Oh, wait, never mind. Duke's not in the top 25. My mistake there.
Sorry. Oh, that's an interesting turn of events.
It is an interesting turn of events. And you know what? I hate to say it. It might be good for college basketball if Duke goes unranked for a change. Just a bit. Maybe three teams will have hope.
It gives you hope for parity in college basketball, and maybe you're hoping for Kentucky to also be unranked as well.
Well, actually, that won't be far off. I mean, John Calipari has his work cut out for him. His team is barely cracking the top 20 right now. I mean, we could look at UConn as far as women's basketball goes. It would be nice if they dropped out of the top 25 for once. Maybe there would be 50 teams in women's college basketball that would have hope.
It would be nice if they dropped out of the top 5, to tell you the truth, for UConn, and top 10, because UConn, every year with Gino Auriemma, they're always in it, and they're always the team favorite to win it all in college basketball for the women. It's amazing the disparity in talent between UConn and everybody else.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate that Maryland couldn't get an early season win against the UConn Huskies. Of course, that game was decided by 10 points, 83-73, way back when. Of course, that was a road game, and Maryland could say they have played better basketball since that loss, even though they had a loss against number 9 Ohio State at home, which was a rare home loss for Brenda Freeze and her Lady Terps. But since then, Ray, as I'm counting down the wins here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 straight wins for the Maryland Lady Terps. And, oh, by the way, they've been crushing their competition in the last 8 games.
Okay, how about that for the Maryland Terrapin women? Because those women right there, we always seem to call on the same people every game. And it
changes up every now and then, though.
It does. It does now this season. I just remember last season we were always talking about Shatori Walker-Kimbrough every single game, and it was Brianna Jones. We were talking about them throughout the games. But now, as we go through this season, it's next woman up because they get every single player involved in that program. It's a team effort for them.
How about the guard, Kristen Confroy, when she set the three-point record for her team several games back? I mean, we could look at players like that, Brene Mosley. I mean, of course, you brought up Shatori Walker-Kimbrough. You know, you still got some solid players like Brianna Fraser, Tierney Pifferman. I mean, it's an endless roster there for the Maryland women's basketball team, and it just showed in their last three games, of course, recovering this past Tuesday's game against Purdue. But let's start off with the games we left off on since our last episode of the Free For All. Maryland went on the road to face the Penn State Nittany Lions and defeated them 89-53, improving their record to 18-2, 7-1 in the Big Ten. Penn State was just outmatched against the Maryland Terrapins, even at home. You look at several players, Shatori Walker-Kimbrough, shocker, regular there, 25 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds, had a block as well, went 5-for-7 from the 3-point line, and that just kills your team right there, the opposing team, that is, when you can't stop somebody from the 3-point line. And oh yeah, by the way, 15 of their 25 points came from beyond the paint there.
You leave them wide open like that, they'll rain threes on you all night long, and that's exactly what happened with the Maryland Terrapins against Penn State, because it just seems like Papa Shot has been prevalent in the men's game for a long time, and the women's game, it's really, really picking up as well, and you saw it right there with Maryland versus Penn State.
Yep, and the center, Breonna Jones, also had a solid game against the Nittany Lions. Had 17 points, had one block, one steal, 12 boards, Ray, 8 of them offensive boards as well. So when you have a defensive performance like that from Jones and you have a solid offensive performance like that from Walker Kimbrough, I don't care who your team is, that is just a tough double-team matchup to combat against. And as we move on, going back to Xfinity Center at College Park, the Maryland women's team was hosting to the Indiana Hoosiers, who before this game were 13-8 and 5-4 in the Big Ten. So I guess Maryland really wasn't taking them too seriously for this home game. Maryland winning 86-63, improving to 19-2, 8-1 in the Big Ten. Brene Mosley had a solid game for the Lady Terps as she scored 16 points. She had 4 assists, 4 rebounds, and also 3-for-3. And we say it again from the 3-point line, you go, if you're that efficient from beyond the paint there, really tough to combat against defensively for the opposing team. Also, Shatori Walker Kimbrough had 16 points. Breonna Jones, 12 rebounds and 10 points for her as well, 2 blocks and 2 steals. So going from a double team to a triple team to stop on the Lady Terps there is really tough for any Big Ten opponent right now.
Yep, and the Big Ten with the Maryland Terrapins, they are rolling. They got the one loss, and they have one loss in the Big Ten overall in 2 seasons.
That's against a good Ohio State Buckeyes team, who I'm sure they're going to meet maybe twice more going into this year.
But you see, I still find that very impressive that the Maryland Terrapin women have only one loss in the Big Ten overall since they have joined the Big Ten, and that cannot be ignored with Maryland, because there are a lot of people detracting Maryland. I mean, the women's basketball program has always been good under Brenda Freeze, but it just seemed like, was anybody expecting just one loss altogether for the Big Ten?
I don't think so. I mean, I wouldn't have been shocked if Maryland would have lost 1 or 2 games, given how solid the Big Ten is. You got Michigan State there, Ohio State there, that are both ranked in the women's AP top 25. So I'm sure they would have given Brenda Freeze and her women their run for their money. But looking ahead at the rest of the schedule there, I mean, it just seems like Maryland has an outright favorable schedule to, dare I say, finish as regular season Big Ten champs for the second year in a row. And this next performance here, as we're on the day we're recording this podcast, February 2nd, 2016, was also the day, if you were a Purdue Boilermaker fan, if you would have went to the Mackey Arena in West Lafayette, Indiana, and you were hoping that the Purdue Boilermakers would have shown up against the Maryland women's basketball team, you were not only sorely mistaken, but you would have also saw a record-breaking performance from the opposing team. 3 letters, SWK, Shatori Walker Kimbrough. Dare I say more, 41 points, 2 blocks, 4 steals, 3 assists, 4 rebounds, 17 for 21 from the floor, 1 for 4 from the 3-point line, 6 for 7 from the 3-throw line.
She is curb-stomping the Boilermakers.
Oh, it was terrible. I felt bad for Purdue. Watching them just get dominated like that, hands down, that was probably one of the best performances we'll see in women's basketball all year.
Yeah, especially from the Maryland side, and that is a historic performance in its own right. And when you like it when it's your team that's doing it.
But of course.
But when you're on the receiving end of it, it is not fun.
Like the Orioles 4 years ago when they faced Josh Hamilton, when Josh Hamilton was really good hitting 4 home runs in Oriole Park. Yeah, that was not pleasant. It was pleasant for most baseball fans, not Oriole fans.
No, I was in awe myself because it was early on in the season, and that was also the year that they finally broke the mold and went to the playoffs. I saw it, and I was just completely in awe by it because it was something that I hadn't seen before, and I was taken aback. I'm like, you just got to tip your cap and just say, nicely done. Nicely done indeed.
Yep, Kristen Confrey, the guard, also went 3-for-7 from the 3-point line, had 13 points of her own right there, 5 rebounds. Breonna Jones, 13 points. Melina Howard, the center, 12 points, and also had 7 rebounds as well. Breonna Jones also had 8 rebounds for her own. You had 4 Maryland players in double-digit scoring right there, but it doesn't matter because Shatori Walker Kimbrough basically had enough double digits for 3 more players on her team.
Yeah, she could have beaten that team on her own if it was just by herself. If her team did nothing else, that she could, you know, she was a one-woman gang right there, but let's move on to the men now, as
yes,
they had 2 games this past week, one against the one against Iowa, and the other one was against Ohio State. Now, I predicted that they could beat Iowa because they're a big, top 5 team, But against the Ohio State Buckeyes, I always thought that was kind of a trap game, and considering the first meeting between the two and everything that was happening, I just, with Michigan State and Northwestern and how they played against those two teams, I just thought that this was a game that Maryland would have taken lightly, and it turned out that it almost was the case, but it was the Maryland Terrapins who prevailed in that game. But let's talk about Iowa first.
Yeah, Maryland holding off Iowa 74-68 in a very solid matchup. If you were a fan of college basketball against ranked teams, this was definitely a game to watch here. Iowa definitely was giving Maryland a run for their money in the first half. And as we're looking at the play-by-play here, 41-35, Maryland was leading by 6 points. Second half, Iowa tied them up. And Iowa was giving Maryland some fits in the 8-minute mark going into the second half there. But this game, Ray, was decided by the Maryland transfers, Robert Carter Jr. and Rasheed Suleiman, who each had 17 points of their own.
Yeah, Suleiman went off. And we were
3 for 5 from the three-point line, Suleiman did.
Yeah, we were thinking that maybe Suleiman will see him in this game and then all of a sudden not show up in the next, because it seems to be what Rasheed Suleiman does. But in this game, he was just completely in fuego, and it was fun to watch.
Not only was he in fuego, he did have a moment there where the ref looked like he would have gotten in a tiff with Suleiman, because Suleiman is a very emotional player, and given some fouls that were called in that game, Mark Turgeon was so close to losing Suleiman off of the court there. But also, you had 4 Terps total who had double-digit scoring. Melo Trimble had 11 points. Jake Lehman had 11 points as well. Melo Trimble went 2 for 6 from the three-point line. Lehman, even though we critique Lehman a lot because he could be so much better as a player, 1 for 8 from the three-point line. I guess if there's any criticism to take from this game is, why do you have your starting forward shoot that many 3 points? I mean, those 3-point plays. I mean, shouldn't that have went to Suleiman and Melo Trimble, since they are more efficient 3-point shooters there?
I mean, you would think that would be the case, but I guess to each their own. It was able to get the job done despite the fact that he was only 1 for 8 from the 3-point line. But the other thing too is that Maryland, just throughout this entire season, they just get dominated in the paint when it comes to second chance points, when it comes to rebounds and getting and being able to get the ball back in their possession. But in this game, it wasn't as disparaging as it has been. They were still out rebounded by Iowa, but it was more of a consistent performance all around. It didn't look like they were absolutely being skull dragged in the paint, because you saw Jake Lehman, he had 7 rebounds, along with Melo Trimble, who had 6. Robert Carter, 7 rebounds. But your big guy, Diamond Stone, only four right there. That number needs to get better for the big guy, Diamond Stone. But
especially if he has pro basketball aspirations as well, because scouts are going to be looking at the number to increase going into March. Not that he will go pro after 1 year. Who knows? He may pull a Melo Trimble and go back for a second year. But yeah, you are right, though. Diamond Stone, those rebound numbers have to improve, especially if he's a starting center on this team.
Yeah, because Jarrett Uthoff for Iowa, he had 10 rebounds, along with his teammate Adam Woodbury, a senior, who also had 10 rebounds. And both those players had double-doubles. And
there were a lot of rebounds in that game, too. Yeah. A lot of missed opportunities as well.
Uthoff didn't have a double-double. He was 1 point away from having a double-double. But Woodbury did have a double-double, so everybody that was critiquing Maryland with a rebound game, the rebound game got a little better in the Iowa game, but you still leaves a lot to be desired, especially when it comes March time.
There was a lot to be desired in the Ohio State matchup for Maryland as they went on the road to face the Ohio State Buckeyes. Fortunately for Maryland, even though they had a 6-point lead going into the second half and were outscored 30-29, Maryland prevailed 66-61. Over the Ohio State Buckeyes. Ohio State improving a little bit since their last matchup against Maryland, where they got beaten by 35 points. Maryland improves to 19-3, 8-2 in the Big Ten, improves 4 spots in the top 25. And you had 4 Maryland players who were top 4 in scoring, Ray. You had Diamond Stone, who had 10 points, Robert Carter Jr., who had 10, Melo Trimble, who had 20, Jake Lehman. Now, we were talking about Jake Lehman and criticizing him. This is the kind of game Jake Lehman should be having for the Terps on a game-by-game basis. He had 16 points, but he also, Ray, had 10 rebounds, went 5 for 6 from the three-point line, or from the free-throw line, I should say, but he also went 1 for 2 from the three-point line. So that's the lesson there, Jake. Draw some fouls, get your free throws. If you have to shoot a 3, Shoot as little threes as you can, because with all due respect, that is just not your A game right there. Other than that, great game for Jake Layman.
A lot of times you see your forward popping up three-point shots like that, it's desperation moves. And when you saw it in the Iowa game, it just made me scratch my head. But in the Ohio State game, definitely improved it big time. Jake Layman had himself a double-double, 10 rebounds, 16 points. Melo Trimble as well, as you mentioned, 20 points. He was the leader on that. Maryland did not get out-rebounded in this game. They actually were pretty impressive in the paint during this matchup between Ohio State.
Here was the key stat here. Ohio State in free throws were 14 for 24, 58.3% shooting from the free throw line. Maryland, 20 for 23, 87% of the free throws made. That was a big number right there, because if Maryland would have missed six free throws right there, that could have been the game right there, and it would have been a huge upset at Ohio State.
Another number that makes you want to scratch your head is they had 13 turnovers in this game. They easily outperformed Ohio State in that regard, because Ohio State only had 8 turnovers. Maryland, 13. That's a number you got to improve.
Yeah, very much so. Melo Trimble, 2 for 10 from the three-point line, so he had a Jake Layman kind of game, even though most of his 3 points were clutch. But, yeah, moving ahead to the schedule here for the Maryland Terrapins, as far as the men are concerned, their next couple games coming up, they will be going to Nebraska to take on the Cornhuskers, and then their next game, which will be on a Saturday, they'll be taking on the Purdue Boilermakers. Oh, yeah, Purdue, they're 18th in the country.
They are 18th in the country, but maybe they will have a better performance against the men than they did against the women. But this has been another edition of the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All. I am Ray Atkinson.
And I am Josh Hall.
And we will see you all.